Good morning and welcome to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. We're always thankful that you're able to join us. I'm your host this morning, Ryan Smithy, and have the great opportunity to be looking into Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, certainly encourage you to sit down and open up to Proverbs 3, and we'll begin our studies there in just a moment. One announcement that I want to remind you of that is ongoing is the gospel meeting at the Oak Grove congregation going on this week. It is running from August 13th through August the 17th, so it'll be running through Thursday. We were able to be out there last night with the Summer Youth Series and J.J. Hendricks talking about the Father and the Prodigal Son. And now if you have opportunity tonight and Wednesday and Thursday, know that they would greatly enjoy you being with them. Tonight, Anthony Warnes is going to be speaking on What If I Miss Heaven. On Wednesday, Chris Hooten is going to be speaking on Going Home Without Jesus. And Thursday, Kevin Cawley is going to wrap it up with You Who Are Weary, Come Home. And so again, that's the Oak Grove congregation just north of Mount Pleasant, Texas. And so if you're in that northeast Texas area, I know that they would greatly enjoy you getting to be with them. And I believe that you would be benefited from those studies that are ongoing as well. Well, with that announcement, we want to go ahead and jump right in to the studies before us today, and particularly we have the opportunity to look here in Proverbs chapter 3 as we continue this great study of wisdom. We mentioned yesterday, even in the introduction, that this is a book of practical living, a book of applying wisdom to your life. And in many ways, if you want to extend the days of your life and make the life days of your life the best that they can be, then we're going to be looking to the principles that God has revealed here in the book of Proverbs. I did receive an email yesterday, and I want to remind us, I've heard it before, but that idea that, you know, what treasures we would gain. One could take a chapter of the book of Proverbs and read it each day, and you would be able to read it through about 12 times a year. 31 chapters on average there, about 31 days a month. And so you can read the book of Proverbs through in just about a month, once a month. Certainly would be a beneficial treasure to add to your Bible study. And so certainly a thought there. We've gotten to see in chapter 1 how wisdom is here personified as this lady that is crying aloud in the streets, and she's desiring you to come and to know her and to learn of her. She wants to benefit you in your life. In fact, as you move into chapter 2, you begin to see even more. Now, not only is wisdom calling about, there's promises that are given in this if-then promise that is set up. If you will learn of wisdom, if you will follow after her, then she will bless your life. And now even more so, in beautiful fashion here in chapter 3, we're going to see the benefits and the blessings of those who will love wisdom, those who will cherish her as a greater possession than anything else that they own in this life, then she would benefit them in their lives. And so will we seek after wisdom? Will we follow after her as we are encouraged to do, as the Father continues to encourage his Son, even right here in chapter 3? Now, as we look here, well, I want to maybe break this up. We'll begin in the first. Let's begin in the first 18 verses here, as we see the joy, the happiness, the contentment, the peace that is going to come from finding wisdom. Beginning there in verse 1 of chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. And so again, we see this this beautiful language unfold before us as to the contentment that is going to be allowed to the one who truly comes to know and find wisdom. We find here, you know, if you were even to kind of break this down more, here there's going to be this exhortation to obey God, verse 1 through 4. You're going to rely on God and not on yourself, verse 5 through 8. And you are going to sacrifice and submit to God in verse 11 through 12. And then if you do that, you will have this happy gain of this incomparable value in wisdom. And so, my son, it ties us back into the study that we have already accomplished yesterday in looking in chapter 1 and 2, that here is a father striving to impart wisdom unto his son, striving to get him to see that it is valuable, it is worthwhile for you to seek after wisdom, to attain wisdom, and to hold on to wisdom, to use wisdom in your life. And he's going to urge him not to forget my law, my teaching, or my doctrine. But here, not just simply that I have forgotten because I've let it slip out of my mind, but even more so, he's urging him, do not disregard, do not neglect the teaching that I am striving to give unto you. Throughout the Bible, we're going to find the prophets of old, we're going to find the New Testament writers giving this encouragement, do not forget the things of God. And there's this constant battle there that one can grow tired, they can grow weary, and they can let the things of God slip away from them by disregard. And this constant reminder, keep these things in the forefront of your mind. Bind them about you so that you always have these things with you. And so do not put these things away from you. Do not lay them aside, but rather search after the things of wisdom. And so forget not my law, but keep my commandments. Keep the principles here that I am setting before you. Understand the things that I am teaching and strive to apply them unto your life. So remember them. Even show affection to them, but ultimately obey them. Put these things into practice in your lives. And here, even beginning there, is a promise. You seek after these things. Why? Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. length of days. Here, an extension of days. You want to live a long life. Follow the ways of wisdom. Now, this is much like some of the other things that we'll see within the Proverbs and other principles that we see taught through the Scriptures. It is a general rule and a general principle. If you want to live a good long life, we're going to follow the principles of God. We're going to be beginning as children who will listen unto their parents and observe the wisdom that they're able to impart unto us and then seek after that ourselves. If we care not for this life and we care not for the lengthening of it, live ungodly. And see if that does not shorten your life. Now, are there wicked people that live long lives? Certainly. Are there godly people whose lives are shortened? Certainly. But as a principle here, when we seek after wisdom, we're going to have this lengthening, this extension of days. This was a promise that was given in the Old Testament, as God was bringing his people up into the land of Canaan. If you want to live long in the land, you're going to follow after my ways. It was a principle of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And there in verse 12, this first commandment with promise that we are to honor our father and our mother if we're going to listen to them and follow their ways and the wisdom that they're teaching us. Then it's going to add up to a lengthening of our days. But then he also says in a long life, and here the idea goes deeper. Maybe here life's days that are truly worth living. Now, not just the idea of a lengthening of your days, not just that you will spend more days upon the face of the earth, but that those days will truly be days that are worthwhile. Those will be truly years of blessing that have been added unto your life. Oh, yes, there's going to be joy, there's going to be benefit when we would add wisdom unto our life. Length of days, long life, and peace. Here, one who dwells in wisdom is one who is going to be able to dwell in peace, in a happiness of life. And so here are days of pleasure, days of rest, days of peace that we're able to live shall be added unto you. And so even as he moves into verse 3, let not kindness or mercy and truth forsake thee. Rather, we are to bind them about our neck. We are to write them on the table of our hearts. Here is this admonition again. You're seeking after wisdom, but as you're doing so, you be a person of mercy and truth as well. Literally, here the idea of kindness, outward help, a sympathy that's going to be shown unto others. This life, regardless of what we're told in our time, in our society, and other times, and throughout the history here of mankind, we are to be reminded here that we are to be people that are not only interested in ourselves. We are to be a people that are to be interested in others. Philippians chapter 2 sets that principle before us as we look at Christ. And he reminds us, Philippians 2 and verse 5, you let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that he was willing to sacrifice himself. He was willing to humble himself and was willing to put others above himself. And that's the principle of life that we're to be following. And so here you show mercy and you show kindness even unto other people. And here you do so in truth. The idea possibly even of firmness or stability, the idea of moral standard that is to be followed here. You live an upright life. And how often in scriptures are these things gathered together, this mercy and truth that we're going to show to others in our lives. And so, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. instead wrap them about you, bind them upon your neck. It's been noted that Solomon also often speaks here of the neck as that organ, that symbol of obedience. Bind God's law about your neck. It was never to be a physical aspect here, as some would take it, to which here you're going to just wrap write God's law upon a little strip of paper, and we're going to attach it to our clothing, we're going to attach it to our neck in some fashion, or hang it from our hair. No, here was this idea: you're going to bind this about you, and that you're going to obey it, you're going to follow it. I'm going to, with purpose and thought, seek to follow the things of God and not forget them. I'm going to exalt them. I'm going to bring them to the forefront of my mind that I can follow them. Again, write them upon the tables of thine heart. Let this be the guiding principles of your life. Hide these principles in your heart. Make them known, so that as we're going through situations, as we have to make decisions, we're not just making them off our whims, but we're thinking about, what does wisdom say? What does God say? And so I will observe these things. What's the benefit? So you can find favor and good understanding, both in the sight of God and in the sight of man. And so there again, we have benefits to binding these things about us, to seeking after these things. Yes, we're going to find favor. We're going to find grace when we will seek after these things. And then also good understanding. Maybe this is the idea of having a good reputation. And others suggest that it represents the idea of prudence and wisdom. It's going to be shown in your life. When we are people that seek after wisdom, when we truly desire godly wisdom and knowledge, it's going to show. It's going to show in how we treat others. It's going to show in how we react to situations of our lives. It's going to show in the way that we use our words, and we strive to build people up rather than tearing them down. And so you're going to have favor and good understanding both in the sight of God and in man. There's benefit that is going to be gained from seeking after wisdom. But then as we shift, verse 1 through 4 talks about that obedience there. We're again reminded that we are to, if you will, set God upon a pedestal. Set God upon, exalt him into his proper place and his proper position, that we would trust in him. And not just trust in him, but do so not leaning upon our own understanding. You see, it goes deeper than just simply acknowledging God, than simply trusting in him. This is a full and complete trust that says, I'm going to trust in God and not in myself. And so trust in God, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Notice again, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There is a, for lack of a better word, a symmetry here. Lean not on your own understanding, but rather lean upon God. Acknowledge him and let him direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Show that proper respect there, that we would follow after him. That's going to be the admonition in many ways. Verse 5 through 7 here could be, if you will, the theme, not just of this chapter, certainly is a fitting theme for the chapter, but even more so, it's a fitting theme for the whole of the book of Proverbs, and it's even a fitting theme for all of the Bible. In all your ways, acknowledge God. in whatever you do, in whatever you apply your hand to, however you live your life, acknowledge God. Follow Him. Acknowledge the wisdom that He has revealed unto us in His Word. Allow Him to direct your paths. And so, He's told us here, trust. Trust in the Lord. The idea of cling to or confide in. And so no longer place this confidence in ourselves, but place it in God. Jeremiah would word it this way, that it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We need to understand here is the one that has molded us, fashioned us, made us in His own image. Here is the one who knows more about us than we do our own selves. And so He encourages us. Let Him direct your paths. And when God directs your path, your life will be enriched. Now, what is the book of Proverbs urging us to do? Allow God to direct your paths. Now, it still requires thought. It still requires reasoning on your behalf. But let those thoughts and let those reasons be molded and shaped by God's will. In whatever you do, are we doing this to God's honor and glory? Are we walking in wisdom? Are we walking in foolishness? Are we striving to direct our own paths, or are we allowing Him to direct our paths? When I study God's Word, when I know that which He would have me to do, and I know that which He would have me to avoid, then when I make wise decisions, I'm allowing Him to direct my life. And when I allow Him to direct my life, the natural instinct or the natural thing that's going to follow there is I will depart from evil. I'm going to be walking in the ways of God, not in the ways of the world, not in the ways of those that are about me, not in the ways of my own wisdom. Walk with God. Follow after Him. And rely not upon your own self. And when you would do this, now again, He's going to talk of blessings. These actions are going to ensure health and increase. It'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Really, what we're speaking of here is a spiritual health. The navel was used as the center of the body's strength. And so here you're going to be built up, you're going to be strengthened, you're going to be encouraged when you follow after God and when you seek after His will. Marrow here is going to be the idea of bringing life. Oftentimes we think about the Ezekiel and the valley of what dry bones. Okay, those are well dead bones, if you will. The moisture and the life is gone from them. Oh, but it's going to be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. There's going to be moisture. There's going to be health. There's going to be life. You're going to be built up if we would indeed seek after wisdom and seek after God. And so here, spiritual health, self-sacrifice. Honor the Lord, verse 9, with your substance and with the first of all of thine increase. Are we going to honor Him? This goes back in many ways to verse 5 and trusting in the Lord. Do we truly trust in the Lord that He is going to bless our lives and give us the things that we need? God called upon the Israelites, give of your first fruits as a way of dedicating the rest of the harvest. That took a lot of faith, took a lot of courage, because here they can be thinking in their minds, well, I don't know what I'm going to be able to harvest this year. God says, you bring me my first and I'll take care of you. Trust in the Lord. And so honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. Well, we put God first in our lives. think as we look at that today, we need to understand the idea, am I willing to give God of my all? Am I willing to trust him that he's going to provide for me, that he's going to care for me? How easy is it for us to say, well, I can give unto God now because I have a good job. And I know that this money is going to be coming in at this time, and there's this regular repetition of this salary that's coming in, and so I trust in him because of what I can see in the future. Or do we truly trust in God that he's going to provide for us? I'm not talking about one becoming lazy, one refusing to work because he simply sits back and he says, well, God will provide. But one who truly trusts in God, I don't know what will happen in the future, but I will trust in God. I will trust in the opportunities that will come along. I will trust in him to care for us and to provide for our necessities, not our wants, not our every desire, but certainly our necessities. And so providing good stewardship, remembering that the things that I have, they are God's. I am merely a steward of these things. He said, honor him with your substance, with the first fruits of your increase. Notice again, a blessing, verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God would indeed bless those who would first give unto him. I think there even of Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, you back up in that chapter, those physical needs and necessities of life, these things shall God add unto you. God is capable, willing, and desirous to care for his people. But there's also this understanding. We can talk about abundance, we can talk about blessings, but not all of life is going to be easy. Not everything's always going to go exactly our way. There may be some days of adversity. But verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We ought to be reminded there of Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. That's the same thing the Hebrew writer is going to remind us. The Lord will chasten us according to his good will. He chastens us, he corrects us because of his love and because of his care for us. There's a loving kindness. There's an ultimate good that he is seeking for. It's not out of hate. It's not out of spite. But rather is working to improve his people. And so we ought to be drawn closer to God by his corrections rather than be repelled from him. Use these things to look at our lives and to be built up in faith, be built up in trusting in God, be built up by looking at the things, or is there something that I need to correct of my life? He will do so, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. I want the best for my son. And so I'm not going to give my son everything that he wants and everything that he desires. I'm going to show my son the value of good, hard work. I'm going to show my son the value of discipline and correction, the value that says not everything you do is right. There's a right way, there's a wrong way, and I want to guide you and steer you in those ways that are right. And then in the last of that section, in verse 13 through 18, here we get to speak about the treasures. We've seen some warnings. You know, seek after this wisdom, apply this wisdom, bind this wisdom about yourself. But what's the real value here in this treasure? Well, he begins with this idea of happiness, blessedness, verse 13. Blessed is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. When you are able to gain or possess this wisdom, when you have it in your heart and you're able to think and live by these principles, you have gained something of greater value than anything in this life. The merchandise, verse 14, is better than silver, or the gain of it is better than fine gold. It's more precious than rubies, whether these were rubies or pearls or what. Certainly the idea is there for us to understand whatever you value in this life, in a physical term there, wisdom is going to be far greater, more useful than even these things. In fact, this strengthens this comment there in verse 15, all the things that you can desire are not to be compared unto her. What is it that you seek after? What is it that you value in life? Wisdom ought to be of greater value. Wisdom is going to bless our lives even more. Again, length of days and riches and honor, these things are possessed in her. And so if we seek after wisdom, we can have that length of days. We can have those riches and honor. We can live, verse 17, in those ways of pleasantness and peace. We would be amiss, I believe, if we think of these things only in terms of the physical nature of this life. When we think about the riches and honor and the peace, it's not just having a mansion on the seashore in which I can relax and be at ease. But truly the idea of spiritual health and being built up. One has even drawn the conclusion here, perhaps we ought to be looking at the eternal rewards. After all, is that not truly where our greatest peace and rest and comfort comes from? And then he ends with this idea in verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The tree of life. We have that image brought up for us in the Garden of Eden in Genesis. The Proverbs writer is going to speak of it again. Proverbs 11, 13, 15. And we'll see it again in the book of Revelation in heaven. There's not a lot said about the tree of life. And it's interesting to think here, not that the direct comparison is made here to the tree of life, but perhaps this idea that wisdom is as a tree of life. Even as that tree of life would bring life, health, that's exactly what wisdom will do. Wisdom ultimately will grant eternal life with God in heaven. Because again, wisdom comes from God. Wisdom's going to steer us to God. We can look to Him. And so when we gain wisdom and when we follow after wisdom, then we can be of great certainty there. Not just the blessings of this life, but even the blessings of an eternal life. And we begin to see some of the great value of wisdom. Then we look in verse 19 through 26 of chapter 3. Wisdom as it was with God in the creation and continues to protect those who fear Him. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Here it is, wisdom. wisdom, as it is ultimately pictured here, as being with God. And I guess there's some question here. Is it God showing forth his wisdom in creation? Or is wisdom even here being tied to the second member of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, as he was active in that creative power? There are a few suggestions that the earth documents the profound wisdom of God. That's what we saw in Psalm 19. That here the creation screams forth, there is a God. And it's the fool that said in his heart, there is no God. Romans chapter 1 reminds us of the same thing. We're without excuse, for the things, the invisible things of God are seen by the things that he has made. And so I look at the world and I look at the creative power of God and I am reminded of the great wisdom and the understanding of God, who was able to do all of these things. Others will take and say, well, here wisdom is seen in the things that have been made, so that as I look at the creation, then I am led to accept and obey him. Very similar ideas, but maybe a little distinct in their exact interpretation of what is meant here by the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding he has established the heavens. But here it is not God the very source of wisdom? Who is the one that was able to do all of these things? Who is the one that had the wisdom and the power to create and mold and shape all of these things that we have and to speak them forth just by his very word? One of the things I'm reminded there is God is that ultimate source of wisdom. He is that one that I want to seek after. He is the one that I want to follow. If I want wisdom, I want to go to God. I want to follow after him. And so, yes, in some sense, both of those ideas have great merit and value. But it is the Lord that by wisdom has founded the earth. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up. Here, many believe this is not a great catastrophic thing, such as the flood, but that verse 20 is simply the ongoing cycle of the earth. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, the clouds drop down the dew. There is water that comes forth out of springs. There is water that comes forth from the rain of heaven, and it is God in his wisdom that has designed and ordained and continues to sustain these processes. So he continues to bless, not just in the creation, but his ongoing care for the earth here, all by his wisdom. And so, verse 21, when we consider those things of verse 19 and 20, don't let wisdom and understanding depart from your eyes. Don't take your eyes off them. Maybe as we're learning to play baseball, we've heard that common phrase, don't take your eyes off the ball. In some ways, that's what Paul is telling us there in Colossians chapter 3. You set your affections on things that are above. Don't take your eyes off of heaven. Know where you're going. Know what your goal is. Is that not what the Father is telling the Son here? Don't take your eyes off wisdom. Don't take your eyes off understanding. Seek after it. Follow after it. It is worthy of being retained. Wisdom. Wisdom that comes forth from God, but is conferred upon those that seek it and is blessed in so doing. The soul and the neck is mentioned there in verse 22. They will be life unto thy neck, unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck is potentially here the idea of the whole man. Your internal and external being, your spirit and your flesh. In all of your ways, you are going to be blessed. And so seek after wisdom. And when you do so, again, it's going to bring about this peace, this fear of the Lord that follows after knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And I'm going to put him in his proper place, and I'm going to exalt him and seek after the wisdom that he's provided, and I'm going to follow him in all of my ways. Then I can have a peace that says, I know that I'm doing that which is right. And things may not always go my way, but I'm going to keep on doing that which is right. And so I can live my life with peace and confidence, and I'm not driven by this sudden fear of what's happening here, what's happening there, and being anxious about the things of life and wondering what's going to go on. And no, I'm able to lay down my head on my pillow at night and have a sweet slumber because I trust in God and am at peace because I'm trusting in him. Verse 26, the Lord is thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You see, I have someone that I can trust in, have confidence in. The world doesn't have that. And so by wisdom, I've gained that peace and that understanding, that comfort that others do not have, that others have not attained unto. And so a comfort that comes from knowing that we truly are God's special people. We still enjoy that today as we seek after God and his wisdom. And then he closes this chapter, verse 27 through verse 35. Wisdom is going to have us to love our neighbor, to treat others with that mercy, that kindness we spoke of earlier, and have nothing to do with the wicked of this life. Remember again, going back into verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes, rather fear the Lord and depart from evil. And so, beginning there in verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, and he giveth grace to the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Again, we continue to see the blessings and the benefits of the one that's going to seek after wisdom and live as God would have him to live, but the downfall that's going to be upon those who reject that wisdom, who live as they want and take no care to God and no care to others that are around them. And so here we see, number one, an exhortation to be benevolent to those that we have opportunity to help, but also we see a warning. Don't be like the wicked that would take advantage of others. And so do good to those who are in need and are deserving. We're certainly encouraged, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they of the household of faith. But here, looking for opportunities that are about us, and as we have those opportunities to use them, to take advantage of them, instead of saying, I have opportunity to help, but I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. As you have opportunity to help, then do it. We should be those the lights of the world. Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We should be looking for those opportunities to glorify God. We're warned in James chapter 2 and verse 16. Well, let's back up into verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? What good have you done if you've had opportunity to help and you've neglected, you've wasted that opportunity? And so certainly we should be looking for the abilities there that we have to do good, to use that which God has first blessed us with, then to benefit others with those things. And so not only are we do good against toward our neighbor, but he also is going to warn us not to do evil against him, not to strive against him without cause. And so verse 27 and verse 28 talks about giving as we have opportunity. Verse 29 and verse 30, we're going to talk more about the idea of not doing evil. We oftentimes see this within the Scriptures. There are things we are not to do, but there's also good that we are to do. And so devise not evil. This is a plotting. This is desiring against our neighbor who has given us no offense. We're told in Romans 12 and verse 18, if it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. Your goal, your responsibility is to strive for peace, not simply to strive. Rather, we are to imitate Christ. And as such, he also tells us, do not be envious. Do not be envious of the man of violence. Do not choose any of his ways. Verse 31. He may have temporary power. He may have temporary riches. He may have temporary fame. But I don't want his ways, because his ways, verse 32, are an abomination to the Lord. I don't want his end. Maybe a short time of his life is spent in some pleasure. Maybe it's spent with some riches. But unless he changes, he is facing a downfall. When he goes to the grave, he will not take any of those things with him. He will be eternally separated from God. Then, what good were those things? Were a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what would he have gained? Matthew 16 and verse 26. The perverse, the wicked, he says, is an abomination to the Lord. And so we need to remember prosperity, wealth, earthly success, these things are not always a measure of divine favor. Sometimes we look at people and say, well, I'm doing pretty good for myself. That doesn't mean that God is pleased with your actions. You may enjoy those things for a season, for a time, but ultimately, you're going to stand in judgment before God. And so there is a contrast. God is going to scorn the scorners, but he's going to give grace to the lowly. The wise will inherit glory, but shame will be the promotion of fools. What are we reaping? What are we sowing? What are we looking toward? Are we looking forward the gain and the rewards of this life, or the gain and the rewards of wisdom and life eternal? There's a great contrast that's set throughout the book of Proverbs, but especially here in Proverbs chapter 3. Here is a wonderful summary, if you will, that's been written of Proverbs chapter 3. It says the third chapter of Proverbs continues the theme set forth in the first two chapters as it extols the benefits of wisdom. Wisdom is to be treasured as far greater than any earthly treasure. It grants to us length of days and the protection of the Almighty God. It prevents us from committing sinful acts against both God and man. It aids us in having a benevolent attitude. It brings us grace and makes us heirs. In it we find peace and kindness. Without it we become fools and our acts an abomination to the God who made us. Chapter 3 urges us, trust in Jehovah with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. Better advice it would be hard to find, since it is not in man to direct his own steps. A fitting close there to this third chapter. Indeed, I would highlight and circle and underline verse 5, 6, and 7 of Proverbs chapter 3 is a great theme to this whole book. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Seek after wisdom, pursue it, bind it about you, and benefit from it. What wonderful wisdom we need even in our lives today. We certainly thank you for joining us. Our time is quickly coming to a close, but hope that you will be back with us, Lord willing, once again tomorrow. We should have Chip in the studio with us looking at Proverbs 4 and Proverbs 5. And so I hope you'll take the opportunity maybe even to look ahead and to be ready for that study again, Lord willing, tomorrow. As we go through the day, hope you'll keep listening right here on the Gospel Radio Network for some great programs that are coming up. According to the Scriptures with Kyle Webb is right behind us. Into God's Word with Jack McNeil at 10:30, and then Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine at 11:30 is coming up this morning. And so hope that you will stay tuned, and as always, we hope that you have a great day.
Listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.